Beyond War, a new mode of thinking. We live in a unique moment in history. Extraordinary challenges confront the human species. No sooner had the world made it through 50 years of superpower Cold War than a new adversarial dynamic arose between some countries in the West and alienated groups in primarily Muslim countries. Meanwhile, environmental stresses are spiraling out of control. The resources required to relieve these stresses are still being consumed by armaments and war. The planet has survived the devastation of two global wars. Given the weapons of mass destruction presently at our disposal, we could not survive a third. The time has come for the human species to give up the ancient habit of war. Building a world beyond war will require knowledge, decision, and action. Part 1. Knowledge. A. The Push. Albert Einstein, in 1945, said, quote, "The unleashed power of the atom has changed everything save our modes of thinking, and we thus drift toward unparalleled catastrophe," end quote. The arms race between the United States and the former Soviet Union raised the possibility that all-out war could cause a nuclear winter that would result in the extinction of life. This dark vision, far from having dissolved, has only been postponed and dispersed from the two superpowers to the 8 to 10 nations which so far admit to possessing nuclear weapons, and on into the unknown number that may possess them in the future. Unless we change course, the trend is ominous. The unimaginable power of today's weapons is not limited to their immediate radius of total destruction. Their use would pollute the very air the victors breathe. We can no longer pretend that wars fought in some faraway place will not affect us. What used to be thought of as over there has become over here. And now here includes the possibility that terrorists could detonate a suitcase-sized weapon in a city, causing hundreds of thousands of deaths and rendering it uninhabitable for decades. Should a nuclear war begin, it would likely grow out of just the kind of conventional conflicts we see in the headlines today. While we may not like such smaller wars, we rationalize them as necessary, unavoidable, worth the risk. This habituation to war goes back through all of recorded history. War has been used to acquire, to defend, to expand, to impose, to preserve, to preempt. Each war plants the seeds for the next, in a progression that will continue until we either destroy ourselves or give up on war. But we do not see such interconnections clearly, and thus, as Einstein said, we drift toward unparalleled catastrophe. B. The Pull. Our moment in time is also characterized by a new level of interconnection between people and cultures. We have brought back photographs of the Earth from space that demonstrate how interrelated we all are, sharing one atmosphere, one vast ocean, one life support system. For the first time in history, we know the story of our common origin as a species. A story of our success and survival that goes back millions of years to the beginning of life, or even billions of years to the beginning of the universe. When we stand back from our conflicts, we realize that we all want the same thing for ourselves and our children. Dignity, meaningful work, nourishing food, clean water, adequate shelter. Many of our challenges, like the regulation of air pollution, are transnational and can only be solved by a new level of collaboration across borders. Your survival depends upon me, and mine upon you. If I can help you become more secure, it makes me more secure. This ethic is confirmed in the variations of the Golden Rule that are found in all the world's religions and is one of their most profound points of agreement. Science also demonstrates that this condition of planetary interdependence is not just a contemporary reality, but a principle built into the core of nature from the beginning. Biology has shown that in a totally interrelated system, survival of the fittest does not mean the survival of the strongest. Participants in an ecological system are fit only if they allow future generations of their species to prosper. And ecology and genetics have revealed that greater stability in the life system results from increased diversity. These deep biological principles suggest that the possibility of our moving beyond war, far from being unreachable, may be built into our very genes. If we could end war, the immense assets we presently devote to armaments and war would be more than enough to eliminate starvation and malnutrition, provide shelter and clean, safe drinking water, restore our threatened ecosystems, foster democratic institutions, give shelter to refugees, end illiteracy, and stabilize human population worldwide. C. A new mode of thinking. Einstein said everything had changed except our modes of thinking. When we shift from thinking that war, however distasteful, still works and will lead to our survival, to realizing that war will lead to our extinction, the notion of we expands. This more inclusive we means everyone on Earth, not just the national we. Until recently, the meaning of we for most of us was far smaller, narrower, more exclusive. We had limited experience of other peoples and other cultures. Therefore, our primary loyalty was limited to our family, tribe, race, religion, ideology, or nation. That loyalty is an important part of our identity. It colors our values, our attitudes, our motivation, and our actions. But because our identification has been restricted, we have often seen those beyond that identification as enemies, justifying war. Enemy imaging begins with fear. To justify subjugating or killing what we fear, we make our adversary into something less than human, brutalizing not only them but ourselves. War becomes a vicious circle, perpetuating the process of blame and desire for revenge across generations. We can no longer be preoccupied with enemies. We can no longer see ourselves as separate. In an age of weapons of mass destruction and global ecological stress, this limited identification threatens all of humanity. We must now see that we share a common destiny. Our individual well-being depends upon the well-being of the whole system. While we will always see ourselves as part of a particular family or race or nation, our primary identification must be with all humanity, all life, the whole earth. From this perspective, diverse points of view will become a source of creative solutions. We will never eliminate disagreements between individuals or between nations. There will always be different perspectives, different ideas, and different approaches to problems, but an overriding identification with the whole earth can enable us to resolve conflicts by discovering solutions that benefit all. D. Foundational principles. From all this knowledge of what is unique about our moment in time, we can derive three foundational principles that will guide us in our discovery of alternatives to war. The first is that war has become obsolete. Obsolete does not mean extinct, but ineffective. The implication is that something better exists, in the same sense that a computer is better than a manual typewriter. The second is that we are one human species, and we all live on one planet. A Peace Corps volunteer once said, The earth is a sphere, and a sphere has only one side. We are all on the same side. The third is that the means are the ends in the making. Martin Luther King reminds us, quote, "One day we must come to see that peace is not merely a distant goal we seek, but that it is a means by which we arrive at that goal." End quote. No longer can the ends justify the means. Part 2. Decision. Gandhi said, quote, "We must be the change we seek in the world." End quote. The agent of change over whom we have the most control is ourselves. Much as we might wish to place blame upon others or hope that experts and leaders will solve our collective challenges, there is no way around personal responsibility. Simply by being alive, we use resources, produce waste, and make a difference in terms of our attitude and what we do or don't do. There is no way not to make a difference. Decisions based on anything less than what is best for the whole will take us down the well-worn path of a war. Until we decide on a flat no to war, we will not be able to discover new paths beyond war. We need to decide to reject totally the obsolete war path and commit totally to building upon the new identification with all life. This decision has personal implications for each of us. We must walk our talk by committing to the following agreements. I will resolve conflict. I will not use violence. I will not preoccupy myself with an enemy. I will maintain a spirit of goodwill. I will work together with others to help build a world beyond war. Each of us must decide to adopt this reorientation of our values as the basis of our lives. It is not easy to change the way we think. These implications, far from promising instant perfection, put us on a lifetime path of discovery, learning from our mistakes and from each other. But without individual change, societal change cannot occur. Individuals are the units of social change. Only when we are grounded in principles that work in our own lives can we demonstrate a new model of working together, creating a precedent from which large-scale collective change will follow. Part 3. Action. Thomas Jefferson, in 1820, said, quote, "I know of no safe repository of the ultimate power of society but the people. And if we think them not enlightened enough, the remedy is not to take the power from them, but to inform them by education." End quote. Because the problem is our mode of thinking, education is the most effective action. Education at its best is not telling people how to think, but providing opportunities for all of us to learn from each other in the context of expanded identification. Through the patient work of dialogue, we must build agreement that war is obsolete and that we are all in this together. And we must discover the implications of this new knowledge. Over the long term, history shows that governments and leaders will respond to the will of the people. New leadership, new policies, and the strengthening of international organizations can only emerge from the work of education we, the people, do among ourselves to deepen our understanding of interdependence. There are solid precedents to encourage us that new thinking can bring about deep institutional change. Few in the early 18th century could imagine that a tradition as entrenched as slavery would diminish so rapidly. In the 1980s, few people in South Africa expected that the system of apartheid would evaporate without a period of bloody vengefulness. Global cooperation on issues that affect human safety and health is well within our reach when we understand the stakes. The threat chlorofluorocarbons posed to the ozone layer quickly led to a worldwide ban. As our thinking does shift, what now seems improbable can become possible. The real improbability is that we put ourselves at such extraordinary risk during events like the Cuban Missile Crisis of October 1962, the moment when we may have come closest to global nuclear war. The world will change when enough of us grasp the reality that our current course of conduct is not working, and that we can, in fact, work together to solve our problems. The internet can help bring millions of us into dialogue, understanding, and reconciliation. We can teach children around the world nonviolent conflict resolution. We can celebrate nations like Costa Rica who have realized the economic benefits of doing without a standing army. And we can create incentives for others to follow Costa Rica's example. The transition beyond fossil fuel that the world will face in the coming decades provides a useful analogy. Oil will not disappear overnight, but as its cost continues to rise, alternative sources of energy will become more and more viable. As we use up our diminishing supply of fossil fuel, a moment will arrive when alternatives equal and then surpass oil as the dominant resource. Or, like oil, will be a tough habit to break. Setbacks will occur. In the period of transition, international peacekeeping initiatives will be needed both to prevent conflicts from spiraling out of control and to police terror. Such initiatives will themselves constitute a big step beyond war between nations. Eventually, the planet will come to consensus that the cost of achieving security through military force is unacceptable and unnecessary. An array of alternatives to violence will predominate, and war, already obsolete, will fade into extinction. The more effectively we do this work of education, the more the war system will wither and release its immense resources to address our real needs. While it may take longer than we hope, it may happen more rapidly than we can imagine. If we succeed in changing the way we think about war, we will not only stop our drift toward catastrophe, we will flourish in ways we have only been able to dream about. Read by Anne Milholland.